Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're making our way through some of the key themes from the beloved Apostle John's first letter. We're doing that because, really, right from Christmas up till today, it's going to continue. The church is taking us through that wonderful letter. And I think because it's so focused on the fundamental realities of what Jesus taught, beginning with the first commandment and the battle between light and darkness, and the first commandment being love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And, you know, for Jesus, this is the definition of success. This is what a fulfilled human being, that is a human being that reaches its full potential for living what we have been created for, which is to love God with everything we've got, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so John talks a lot about that in his letters, the importance of the first commandment. Now, he's the beloved disciple, the beloved apostle, the one whom Jesus loved. He's the one who laid his head on, at the final meal with Jesus, the Passover, laid his head on Jesus' chest. I always felt like, wow, what a beautiful expression. It's not something that two men do together, you know, very often, right? We don't do that. But here was a deep affection that John had for Jesus and Jesus had for John. And Jesus has for all of us, every single one of us. He loves us profoundly and totally with tremendous tenderness and affection. And remember, Jesus was born, he became one of us. That means he has emotions, he has desires, he has passion, he's a human being. He's the God-man, but we have to remember he's fully human, and his divinity doesn't swamp his humanity. And so Jesus, for all eternity, will be the God-man. He'll be both God and man, and he will have those human desires and human ways in which love is expressed is part of who Jesus is, how it's expressed and received. And he loves us tenderly. He loves us with mercy and kindness. And there's days he wants to just, you know, grab us and embrace us and express that love. And that's what he did that night. And that moment that he knew at the Passover what was coming, and it was going to be the most difficult night of his life, you know, the next 24 hours there, 48 hours. And the one whom he loved was there close to him. And he just, John, in that moment, was also drawn to Jesus. Like, just kind of imagine, you know, Lexio Divina, putting ourselves in that situation, in that moment. He was experiencing tremendous affection and love for Jesus. And this is who Jesus is. And love is at the center of all that matters most in human life, because we were made for relationship with God, and God is love. We're not saying love is God, just any kind of love and the way the world expresses love. God is love, and that the nature of God's love is revealed in the person of Jesus. We see it perfectly expressed, that love. And so John underlines it here, and he wants us to make sure we get it. And he's saying, you can't say that you have fellowship with God, that you're abiding in God and living in that love, which is what we're called to and empowered to by the grace of the Holy Spirit at work in us, and to walk in darkness, that is to walk in sin and to not love the brethren. So it's one of the central themes here that we're touching on. I left off yesterday in chapter 1 through verse 7. I'll repeat it again, but dive into the latter part of this whole section. So in verse 5, he says, this is the message we have heard from him, that is the Lord, and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So to walk in the light, he means to walk in the light of the Holy Spirit, to walk in the light of Christ, and to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, to live the commandments as Jesus communicated the commandments to us. Because to be a disciple is to live a whole new way of life. It's to radically abandon ourselves and to make it our focus and our life passion to be attached to Jesus, to walk after him and to conform our lives to Christ. He said, but if we walk in the light, that is walking in the light, that is the light of Christ, right? He said, we have fellowship with one another. Following Jesus means he's going to lead us directly into his way of life. And his way of life is the life of love. And what is Jesus doing? Why did he come? To build a family, to establish the family of God, to teach us how to love, to teach us to be a communion in love, just like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are a communion in love. Jesus is gearing us up. He's equipping us. He is empowering us. He's changing us and making it possible for us to ultimately live in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in eternity in perfect love forever. This is the destiny of our lives. This is the purpose for which we were made. This is the design of the Father in us, the image of God in us. That's what this is about, right? So he said then, the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so the blood of Jesus cleanses us from the curse and the stain of sin, and we can come into forgiveness of God. But it also continues to wash away sin and sin's effect in our lives. Verse 80 said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. His word is not in us. So John wants us to get to the heart of the matter. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned, St. Paul tells us, and fall short of the glory of God. Every human being is born into sin and born into a battle against sin. And sin is a break. It's not just a violation of a law. It is that, but it's fundamentally a break in a relationship. It's a refusal to give to God what belongs to God. It's a refusal to love God and to surrender ourselves in humility and trust and abandonment to him. And sin is deadly. Sin kills. Jesus came to destroy sin's power over us. And John is saying, look, it's a very dangerous and a deceptive thing to find ourselves in the place where we're lying to ourselves and we're saying that we have no sin. Some people in the world will say, look, I don't need a savior. I don't need a God. I don't need a savior. There's nothing wrong with me. I don't sin. There's a deception, a lack of clarity about honestly who we are and the condition of our own heart. Again, I'll read it. I'll read it slowly so we can internalize it this morning. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now remember, Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Jesus is after each one of us. He's come to seek and save us and to lead us into the freedom that belongs to him. Jesus wants us ultimately to be totally free. And who are the great models of freedom for us are the saints. They're the ones who gladly confess their sins, gladly boasted of their weakness. They didn't play games. They didn't live in the twilight. They didn't keep the affection for sin alive in themselves, which is a great temptation to do. Like, one of the challenges we have, brothers and sisters, is concupiscence. The reality of our fallen nature is still present. We have the power of the Holy Spirit, if we cooperate with it, to subdue the drives of sin in us so they don't dominate our lives. But we fall to the temptation to believe that sin is our friend, or certain sins. Like we'd say, you know, pretty much everybody could agree to say, yeah, you know, well, I would never murder anybody. I don't want to blaspheme God. I don't want to steal anything from my neighbor. These are bad things. But if we're honest, we have affection for sin. We have inordinate self-love in us. That is a preoccupation with ourselves, with our own comfort, with our own honor, with our own pleasures. And it's very easy to have a set of idols or habit patterns of sin in us that we don't want to yield to the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to bring under the Lordship of Christ because we can't imagine living in the world without them. Take an example of, let's say, pornography, which is ubiquitous in the culture. The devil's going after human hearts with this, using every form of technology and things to enslave people. And this is an area that's very easy for us to say, you know what? You know, life's hard for me and I'm lonely and I don't have anybody to love me, or I have a tough relationship with my husband or my wife or whatever it is. It's okay for me sometimes just to sort of drift into it a little bit and escape. And lots and lots and lots of baptized people are keeping this alive to the point where the devil wants us to say, hey, you know what? What's just a few minutes of escape and pleasure, help you feel good? You're not hurting anybody, blah, 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 right? So we believe the lie. We perceive some good in it. We deceive ourselves. And where the devil's leading us is where many people are in the culture today, is addicted to the stuff because there's whole physiological realities that go on. You know, it creates a kind of, you know, release in the brain of chemicals, the same kind of shot you get when you take crack cocaine. It can be so addictive. And that addiction leads to enslavement and ever deeper levels of darkness. And it gets us focused on ourselves and unsettles us. And before you know it, so much of our time and thought and life is focused on ourselves. And guess what? We fail to live the great commandment of love of God and love of neighbor. And we deny that we're trapped in sin. Here's another example. One of the things we see in the ministry, Renewal Ministries, we send teams all around the world working in missions. And one of the things we see is I ask our leaders annually, you know, what in your ministry in this year, and it's literally all over the world, pretty much on every continent at one time or another. We say, what do you see as the greatest obstacle to people living in the freedom of the sons and daughters of God and the mission of the church going forward? And almost every year, it's the same thing. Oh, it's easy, our leaders say. It's pretty obvious. What is that? Unforgiveness. People's unwillingness to forgive those who've sinned against them. Family members, brothers and sisters, priests, whatever it is. Because somehow we believe that we have a right to hang on to the offense against us. And we want to hold it over people's head and we don't want to let them off the hook. And we play around with this and we feel justified in allowing the hurt to be preoccupied with the hurt. I mean, we've objectively been hurt, but so was Jesus on the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And forgiveness is at the center of this love of neighbor. And so Jesus said, you know, if the apostles asked him, how many times do we forgive a brother? Well, 70 times, 7 times a day. And many of us can get into the place that says, I'm not even going to do it one time with this person because of how badly they hurt me. I don't have an obligation to have to release them from this, right? Even if they ask me. And that's a lie. And that's living in the darkness. And what it ends up doing is it ends up violating, crippling the very thing Christ died for in us, which is to teach us how to love God and how to love neighbor. We'll take this up again tomorrow, friends, because this is a biggie. We need to respond to it right in the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.